This episode of GameScoop is sponsored by Squarespace. If you're looking for a way to make your business stand out and succeed online, Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for you. They take the stress out of creating an awesome website, engaging with your audience, and selling anything from products to content to time, so you're able to focus on, you know, everything else. In other words, you'll have more time for gaming. With the new guided design system, you can choose from curated layouts and styling options to build a unique online presence from the ground up, optimized for every device. And with Squarespace's integrated, optimized SEO tools, you'll show up more often to more people. Squarespace doesn't just make things easier for you. Checkout for your customers is made seamless with simple but powerful payment tools that allow you to accept credit cards, PayPal, and Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and Clearpay. So whether you're just starting out or looking to expand your existing brand, be sure to visit squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/gamescoop to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/gamescoop for 10% off. You know, when it comes to wireless carriers, sometimes what you see isn't always what you get. Except with Visible. With Visible, what you see is exactly what you get. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. With Visible, there are no hidden fees, no fine print, no hassle, nothing to hide. It's just $25 a month, all taxes and fees included. And you don't need more than one line of wireless to save. You can save on a line all to yourself with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. And again, just $25 a month. The future of wireless is here, and it is transparent. If you want more transparency in your wireless plan, you want to be on the Visible plan. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. That's Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. What's up, everybody? Welcome to IGN GameScoop. I'm your host, Damon Hatfield. Joining me this week is Justin Davis, Sam Claiborne.
What the hell, Walmart?
And Ryan McCaffrey is
baseball
here joining us today.
Is better, like my shirt says.
Better than what? Just period?
Anything.
Oh.
It's just better.
Okay.
We have a great show for you today. We're going to talk about, we're going to check in on the sales of the Nintendo Switch. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about Netflix and someone who has already watched. He's finished it. He's completed Netflix. But first,
we're going to talk about our SNES pre-orders being canceled, right?
Well, that just happened. This is breaking news coming in just now. Mm. Everyone who had pre-ordered an SNES Classic here
so
in the office
rude.
From Walmart just got the email. Sorry, guys. There was some sort of mistake, some sort of mix-up at the warehouse. And
we're never getting one.
But not a surprise, though, right? Like, the pre-orders were open for so long, hours and hours and hours, it was clear that something erroneous had happened. I mean, people had
really?
Their fingers...
Really? You think so?
They've had their
fingers
crossed.
I thought
the first
wave was like, okay, we can't fulfill these ones.
Mm.
And then today, they canceled everybody's.
I mean, I think a lot of people held out hope, but no one else's pre-orders went up. And the pre-orders stayed up for so long that it was like, well,
until their website crashed. Yeah. By the time I got to it, it was an error message. The Walmart crashed.
Here's the good news. Is that I picked up a copy of Super Castlevania 4.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
So now I only need Super Ghouls and Ghosts, and I will have every game in the collection but Star Fox 2.
Exactly.
Which I'm working on.
All right. The Xbox One X is still not available for pre-order. Speaking of pre-orders... That's another upcoming console that we cannot pre-order. However, it sounds like it won't be too much longer now. Our man Phil Spencer says, this is a quote, "Our plan is set for this. All approvals are done now, so just landing the announce with all the info won't be too much longer."
But don't do it at Walmart.
Yeah.
Because they burned us.
It's out November 7th. It's not that far out. So in between now and November 7th, do you think they'd want to pick like a good day? Is it going to be random or is it going to be like, do they do September 7th so it's like in 2 months from today?
I think it'll be either during Gamescom.
Yes.
Or if they end up doing a press conference, which some years they, I think most recent years they have.
Yeah.
Or I could see them maybe doing it like the week before to get kind of some buzz heading into it.
Yeah.
Into Gamescom.
I think mid-conference will be like, and your pre-orders are live now.
Maybe, yeah, although, like that, yeah. As was pointed out on Unlocked this week, the time difference in Germany suggests that that would sort of leave the U.S. out in the lurch as far as, like, we'd all be
very
asleep
early in the morning, right?
but yeah, the Gamescom-ish sounds about right to me.
Yeah, that's actually a good point. And that's the week of, like, August 20th,
yeah,
right around there.
About a month from now.
A little late, but yeah, that's a very plausible theory. I mean, it's in moments like this that you sort of remember, you're reminded how impossibly complicated the video game hardware business is. Sure. You know, Microsoft's been doing it a long time. Sony and Nintendo have been doing it a long time. But to coordinate with retail partners around the globe and manufacturing and everything else that you have to do, like when pre-orders go live, how many thousands of people at, you know, Target and Walmart and Amazon and GameStop all have to spring into action and send their things online? And
that's why games get leaked on retailer websites all the time.
All the time.
Yep.
You talk about how complicated the console hardware business is. That's why when Atari announces it's making a new console, that's why I raise an eyebrow.
Yeah.
Just laugh.
The patented, patented Damon eyebrow.
Yep. Well, patent pending.
The people's eyebrow. Damon Hatfield.
But how are we feeling about the Xbox One X today, and are we any of us planning to pre-order it when they do go live?
I think it's really, really impressive and surprising that it's so tiny.
Yep.
Like, it's the most powerful and the smallest Xbox just as a piece of kit. Like, it's really, really cool. For me personally, I don't have a 4K TV, and I'm not getting one this year, probably. I think my wife shut that one down. So until I get a 4K TV, I'm not paying a tremendous amount of attention to the sort of plussed up home consoles.
Yeah. Sam?
I had a 180 on this very show, I think. I was thinking my Xbox right now only runs games at, you know, 900 sometimes, 720 at sometimes. Mm. And I play all my stuff on Xbox if I can. Mm. I don't know why.
Well, you just got used to it and you got in the habit of it last generation.
Yeah. I have a PS4.
Yeah, really good.
I love the controller. And my media stuff on it is really nice. But I'd love to have just on my 1080p television, I'd love to have 1080.
That's true.
I'm totally upgrading. I don't know if I'll pre-order. I don't really care about pre-orders. But I'll get it. That's where I'm at. You should just get it for work.
Well, hopefully we'll be able to pre-order one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat as Justin, actually. Like, I acknowledge that it's an amazing piece of hardware.
Yeah.
For me, the non-4K benefits, which it does have,
are
not worth $500 to me. So I think that, for me, I've got to have the 4K TV if I'm going to get the console. And I'm same boat, that is not in the budget or the plan to get a 4K TV this year.
Ready to get the Kinect out of my drawer in my house, too.
That's I mean, I can go any moment, I think.
No. It's going to have to go with the Xbox.
You'll need an adapter to use it with the X.
Yeah. 4K keeps getting cheaper and cheaper and cheaper. I think this is the year, and I'm not basing this off anything other than my gut and just sort of some chatter around forums and social media, but I feel like this is the year that 4K finally comes down in price, that a lot of people are going to start paying attention to it.
Already at Black Friday last year, 4K TVs were really reasonable.
I was talking with a very high up, not to brag or anything, but I was talking with a very high up person at Microsoft.
Shigeru Miyamoto?
Yeah. That's an alternate universe where Microsoft did buy Nintendo.
It's Major Nelson.
No, but he was saying, there's this, they've been sort of internally, they've been, you know, of course they keep an eye on TVs.
Yeah.
The brand is TCL. That was recommended to me as a budget, like, good TV for a good price. They're apparently it's a Chinese company that's sort of just now breaking into the American market. Not unlike, I mean, I don't know what their country of origin is, but, you know, Vizio 5-7 years ago was an unknown quantity, and now they're a well regarded set. But TCL, and it's the P605 is a 55-inch 4K TV with HDR, $600.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay.
That's
I still
just standard pricing for it.
Yeah. You know, and it's apparently the viewing angles on it are bad, and also I guess the built-in speakers are pretty crap. But like the picture quality, according to Artings.com and AVS Forum and a lot of the you know big HD big TV sort of media sites.
Yeah.
Good set.
You don't want the 1080 Xbox experience, at least for the time being.
Not for 500. Not that's a lot of money for super sampling, and I mean I could, but I've got mouths to feed at home. So.
Did you guys see the Crackdown 3 updates out of Comic-Con over the weekend?
Yeah, the writer.
Yeah, well, the writer was there.
The writer.
They also revealed that Terry Crews is like a fully playable character in the game.
Well, it's funny.
As it should be.
Yeah, it was a little bit of, you know, they at E3 botched as being a little bit mean, but they did botch it a little bit where they announced, you know, Terry Crews, this big splashy announcement.
Yeah.
But then afterwards, people are a little bit confused.
Yeah.
Like, well, wait a second. Was that just an advertisement? Or are you actually saying that he's in the game?
I asked the lead designer on the IGN Live show at E3, so can you play as Terry Crews in the game? And because he hadn't been, now we know in hindsight, he hadn't been authorized to announce it because that's their Comic-Con beat. It was just kind of like, we'll see. Come on. It's a cool thing.
It is a cool thing.
It should be a cool thing, not a confusing thing.
When it's that game, I mean, I loved Crackdown, and I want that franchise to be good, but there's no denying that Crackdown 3 has had kind of a shaky history, and I think it's neat. Like, it sort of shores up. It gives people something to sort of point to and latch onto when it comes to that game that's just good news all around, you know?
Sure.
Good guy, cool guy. Everybody really wants to see more Terry Crews, at least for now, and so, you know, really, really good get for Microsoft and Crackdown.
I don't know who that is.
He's a comedian. I think he's appeared in.
Well, put it this way: The Rock, Dwayne Johnson, is the poor man's Terry Crews.
Whoa.
That's how talented Terry. I love. He's hilarious in everything he does.
He's in
a
movie.
I love that guy.
He's been in a bunch of movies. Yeah. Is he an Expendable?
Yes,
he was an Expendable.
And he had a sitcom for a while whose name escapes me.
Yeah, and he's appeared in some humorous commercials.
He's good in
everything. Well.
Old Spice commercial.
Oh yeah, I've seen those Old Spice commercials.
Yeah,
got those dancing pecs.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. As soon as Xbox One X pre-orders go live, you'll hear about it on IGN. But let's switch over to the Nintendo Switch. We got an update on sales with Nintendo's financials. They just finished another quarter last week. The Nintendo Switch is up to 4.7 million units sold worldwide.
Worldwide?
It has outsold the Vita now.
Wow.
The Wii
PlayStation Vita.
How is it tracking with the Wii U?
The Wii was like 14 million, so it has a ways to go. Lifetime.
Give it a year.
What about in its year, though? I wonder. Yeah, that was probably the best sales period for the Wii U.
Yeah.
There's no way to know.
You have something to say?
Well, I mean, you know, it's hard to. They're selling every single one they can make.
Yeah.
So the headline might as well just be, you know, Nintendo managed to manufacture 4.7 million Nintendo Switches. Because, like, it's hard telling. Like, what's really going to be the story is how many have they sold when there's enough of them that they're just on store shelves and they sort of saturated demand.
Yeah.
I heard this last weekend was a really good weekend to pick up a Switch.
That's what I've been saying on Scoop for a while. Like, I know people are kind of despairing. Like, they really want to Switch. They want to play Zelda. Don't want to play it on their Wii U. But every single time a batch comes in stock and a bunch of people buy them, they get a little bit easier to find and a little bit easier to find because that's a group of, you know, 50,000 people that don't. Yeah.
There was
a
pre-order, Best Buy pre-order this week that was like over an hour.
Well,
like, that's crazy considering it's been a minute.
The other thing that's changed is the bundles now are not. It's like you can get a bundle that's like, you know, Zelda and one other game and like a pro controller. And it's like, that's all stuff you would buy anyway. So it's like, and we've talked about that on the show before.
Yeah, people got
like,
a little bit mad.
People are mad. I mean, I get it.
It depends on what's in the bundle.
No,
exactly.
I'm very anti store bundles.
Yeah, that's, you just want your naked system.
Well, just let me buy what I want. Don't.
No power cable.
They're holding the console hostage.
Yeah, exactly.
But look at the bundle, and if it's all stuff you would buy and they're not charging a premium, then that's a way that you don't need to wait a couple months to get a Switch.
So did you guys see the ThinkGeek NES Classic bundles?
Yeah, those are not so great.
That's garbage.
Did you see those?
No.
They would enrage you.
Do tell.
It's like a Mega Man helmet for $200. You know, and the
I hate it already. Yeah,
or it's like these like you know high end collectibles that are super cool, but like they're
but they
not
have,
the game.
They have a crazy margin on. I'm sure.
Yeah, or whatever the case, it's not a game. It's not a carrying case. You know, it's like one was like a vinyl poster set, but it was like $170 or something. It's like completely crazy.
The other thing, I mean, maybe you're gonna get into this.
Those are available right now.
Like, isn't ThinkGeek owned by GameStop?
Is that
I don't know.
And that's why, like, I mean, that's like that's the, they're in that like. Mean
I didn't
bundle
think so.
Business.
I thought they were their own.
But not true?
I don't know. Right, you could be right.
Okay. Anyway.
There's no way to know.
There's no way anyone could know. Were you going to talk about the software sales at all? Because they announced.
I was, but first I want to say so the Nintendo Switch has sold 4.7 million. Do you know what the next console it has to beat in the list of like console sales?
Good question. Sega Saturn.
Atari Jaguar?
Of all time?
Yeah. Yeah, the next console in line.
I can't believe the Vita.
For it to
Dreamcast.
Leapfrog over. It is the Dreamcast.
Yeah, I was going to say that. That's great.
The Dreamcast, which fittingly sold about 9 million units since it was released.
Out on 99?
Out on 99.99.
Wow.
Sold 9 million units.
That's still a big gap to close to catch up to the Dreamcast. So,
well,
The Dreamcast had, like, from what I understand, dozens and dozens of fantastic games, too.
The original Xbox, the Dreamcast.
Because it had Microsoft Tech inside, right?
Yeah.
It said Windows.
Windows CE.
Windows CE. That's really funny.
But yeah, Nintendo software is also selling very well on the Switch. Zelda's up to almost 4 million. So.
Is it still outpacing the Switch?
The sales of Zelda? Like no. It. So Switch is 4.7.
Remember when it was a little bit higher?
I know. Zelda's now at about 4 million. So.
And this came from Nintendo, right? Like, yes. This is from their quarterly results. Yep. Here's what our software sold. So that means it's not NPD data or something like that. That could be like, you know, they're not capturing digital sales or anything like that.
I was going to say, does it specify, does that include digital?
This is coming from Nintendo, so I imagine it's everything. And they also reported they've made like $100 million in digital sales in the quarter. So
well, the crazy thing is, like, you know, a rising tide lifts all boats. Because the Switch is a hit, ARMS sold like 1.1 million copies.
And that's just in June. So it was released June 18th, and those sales are only through June 30th. So we don't have all of July's sales for ARMS.
Like, people are so starved for software, and, you know, people just really like their Switch that, you know, I'm not bagging on ARMS. ARMS is fine.
Yeah, you are.
ARMS is fine. Well, but I mean,
it did
like,
get good reviews.
I'm bagging on it a little. I'm just saying, for that game to sell a million units in its first month, you know, you can chalk a lot of that up to the console more so than the software, in my opinion.
Yeah, now we're going to get ARMS sequels. ARMS 2. ARMS.
I have nothing against ARMS.
More ARMS.
You and I played it. We didn't like it.
I have not played it.
We played it on the couch.
No, I watched you play it a little bit. But
what'd you think?
I think it looks cool. It's got a lot of personality, character.
I think ARMS is a perfectly good game. I'm saying you pick 100 analysts, you would not flag that as a million selling month one game. That's all I'm saying.
Nintendo did.
People love colorful games with lots of different characters. Just look at Overwatch. Mario Kart 8 Deluxe has also sold 3.5 million. It's also selling really well.
That's an
unstoppable
game.
Force.
Yep. Great game.
It's a great game.
All right, moving on. Let's share what we've been playing. And I know a bunch of us have been playing Pyre.
Yeah.
Are we all playing Pyre? Ryan, you playing Pyre?
I haven't played it yet. Okay. Eager to after the big review.
The three of us have
played
Pyre.
Did you dig into single player at all?
Yeah, that's what I started playing last night.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Okay.
Are they different? I don't even know. Is there a different like single player and multiplayer modes or campaigns? So I just started playing the game.
I mean, multiplayer is just local multiplayer. Like
you can like randomize or pick your teams and then you match up. It's Justin's game of the year.
Well,
I thought he said second place.
Well, so that's because he told me it was game of the year earlier today.
Well, I'm really enamored with Pyre. I really can't get enough of it. It's really excellent. And I said, guys, I think this might be my game of the year. And then you said, what about Zelda? And I said, oh yeah,
okay, that game.
My second favorite Zelda. Game of the year. But I do, you know, and I'm someone that liked Bastion, liked Transistor. That's Supergiant's last two games. And this one, to me, it clicks on all levels. Just the confidence of the way that it tells its story and presents itself and the narration and how all the gameplay is married so closely with that presentation and the justification for why you're on this wizard sports team, I think is very, very strong. It gets everything exactly right, and I can't get enough of it.
I feel like it really came out of nowhere, too.
Well, people are a little shaky on it because of the sort of sports, you know, they like the thing that I saw over and over was, you know, I really like Supergiant and I trust them, but this looks weird. And I kept hearing that over and over, and it's nice to hear them sort of put some of that to bed, and it does deliver in a way that the last two games did.
Have you seen the Supergiant backlash? Mm-hmm. I saw our community for sure has picked up, some people have picked up on this thing. It's like, you guys only like this game because it's Supergiant. Like, they're attributing the kind of Nintendo, Microsoft, Sony fanboyism to Supergiant, which is like, Where does that even come from? They made two high-rated games that I don't think are like people play them were like, these are awful.
I think they keep getting better and better. Like, I thought Bastion was, you know, it had that conceit of the narrator and that it sort of skated by on personality a lot.
Totally.
And then I thought Transistor was an improvement over that, and I think Pyre is now even better. So
very different from those two, though.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Bastion and Transistor are much more similar than Pyre's. Yeah. But it's kind of they're like an amazing story, right? That's Bastion was their first game. It was a big hit, made a big splash with Xbox Live Arcade back in the day. And then they followed up with Transistor, which I agree with Justin, I liked even more than Bastion. And then now their third game is another home run. It's like, even though it's totally different, it's pretty incredible.
Yeah, I don't think people like it just because it's that company.
I don't know why you would be against.
Making sense. I mean, also I think just came out.
The games I'm seeing some people, it's getting knocked for two main things. You've played the campaign some, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's getting knocked for the segments between the actual sport, like, you know, when you're playing the
just
sports
it's
game.
Wordy or what?
Yeah, those segments are too long. Like, it's a lot of reading and sort of making choices.
But those are
choices.
Definitely what I hear people like the best about the game.
Oh, interesting. See, I hear that's.
Well,
the
I mean,
one
they
the
may be long,
I'm
but
hearing,
you know.
Yeah. And then I'm also hearing that
You can't just like the basketball part of it a lot, right? You like the management and the story. It's all part of the package.
To me, yes, but I think some people do just like the basketball.
Well, then you can just play the multiplayer, right?
I haven't heard that at all. Yeah. That's crazy.
And I've heard that some people think the basketball part is too simplistic, but I think that they just haven't, you know, as you get farther into it.
Yeah, they start adding a little bit more to it.
For me, it feels like a telltale, like, cool narrative that it's punctuated by kind of a silly game.
Yeah,
it's obviously very like Saga inspired, in my opinion, in terms of these different races coming together and the more adult fantasy story that it's telling. I really love it.
The art is so amazing.
The art's great.
The background drawings are especially cool because then your little wagon or your boat later on, and
spoilers,
there's another thing too, they move through those parts and like you discover that it's actually a kind of a 3D area that looks just absolutely like it's from the side of a van. You know, it's like that fantasy art, like totally looks like just amazing line drawing, like airbrush fantasy. It's so cool.
Mm. It's the almost psychedelic neon color palette. It's totally really unlike anything else out there. Ryan, I think you'd really like it.
So. Yeah, I'm eager to give it a try.
Do you like NBA Jam?
Who doesn't?
I do.
He's
I mean,
on fire. Make it to the hole.
I'm referring to the sports part of it as the basketball part, just for expediency's sake. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't feel like basketball at all. Like it's its own thing, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think so. Ryan,
you can unlock Bill Clinton with a cheat code.
Sure. Yeah, that's actually true. That's true.
I love it. I love it so much.
Wow, right?
Ryan, what are you playing?
I busted that out.
You know, it's kind of quiet summer, but I was playing, I reviewed just on a whim because, you know, Inside was my game of the year last year.
Mine too.
And I became aware of a game called Black the Fall, which was in development before Inside came out, but it has since come out a year after Inside. It is a poor man's Inside.
Interesting.
And I know that sounds like I'm really, that's like an ultimate backhanded compliment, but yeah, I mean, it's.
You play the whole thing, though.
Yeah. It's a monochromatic, side-scrolling, physics-based puzzle platformer.
Mm-hmm. Is it on Xbox?
It's on everything. Okay. Yeah, Xbox, PS4, and PC.
It has like some kind of like historical theme.
Yeah, it does have a message at the end, because I spent a lot of the game wondering, does this game really have anything to say? And it did at the end.
Countries of Romania?
I don't want to spoil let people play it and sort of find the message themselves. But yeah, I mean, it's fine, but games don't release in a vacuum. If Inside didn't exist, I'd probably like this a little more. I mean, the graphics are okay, and they're just no part of the game compares well to Inside.
Yeah.
But if you remove Inside, which you can't because that's a real thing that exists, it's fine, but yeah. So it's a poor man's Inside, and it was. I played it more out of curiosity than anything else.
Did you guys get to play Pikmin at all? I played a lot more of that.
You weren't really selling me on it.
Yeah, and we talked about it last week.
I'm psyched. Tacoma's next on my list. That's out very, very soon. I think early or mid August.
Finally, it's sneaking up on people. Yeah, I mean, it's a big follow up from another small studio.
Yeah, we have the review next week.
I mean, yeah, you're talking about how it's kind of a quiet summer, but things are going to start getting exciting next month because We also have
Destiny.
Destiny. But I was thinking Mario plus Rabbids Kingdom Battle.
Yeah,
and that game
looks really cool.
Awesome.
Played it at Comic-Con.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's really good.
It sold me once I played it.
We have some new coverage on that hitting IGN next week as well.
Cool. Very cool.
I also want to give a shout out to Eternal Card Game.
Yep.
My iPad. A little bit of a Hearthstone clone, but it's more accurately described as Hearthstone crossed with Magic the Gathering. Mm. It's a little bit more hardcore, skews a little bit more towards Magic, but still has that Hearthstone level of polish and enemies smashing together. And it was in early access on PC for a while, and now it's out on iOS and Android as well. And so I play on my iPad every night.
Yep. Also free to play like Magic or like a Hearthstone.
It's very, very, very generous. The first win of the day, you get a free pack of cards. So if you play a couple matches a day, get one win, you get a free pack. And they've said everything is marketing, so be skeptical of what you read and hear. But they insist that they want the game truly to be like, look, if you play it and enjoy it, you can play it for free.
Yeah, I like
that. And then we've been playing a lot of Columns 3.
We played some Columns 3. Hold on, you're skipping ahead. Well, okay, we can talk about that now. I've also been playing a lot of this.
Ooh.
This is the Sega Genesis Flashback console. This is the newest, all in one. The games are all built in the console.
How heavy is that? Let me see.
Very light.
Oh, yeah. Wow, there's nothing in there.
Yeah, I'm reviewing this game or this console for IGN, so I cannot share opinions on it yet. You can look for those soon. But just some facts.
No headphone jack?
There's no headphone jack.
Weak.
Yeah. That's the AC adapter.
I mean, it was amusing that there was a headphone jack on the first one, and then it ended up being kind of useful. And then you had to plug in your Sega CD to that jack. Do you remember that?
Oh, I had a Sega CD.
And you put carts in there?
Yes, you can. So I was just going to deliver some facts about this.
We can't
talk about
Sega Genesis Flashback Console. I think it's out in September. It's $80. It includes 85 games. However,
asterisk,
it is not 85 Sega Genesis games. There's only about 45 Sega Genesis games on there.
I thought it was fewer than that.
Then there's a handful of Master System and Game Gear games, and then there are 28 bonus games, which are bootlegs of classics like Space Invaders and Pong. It includes two wireless controllers, but
there's
you can also
knock off it.
Yeah, you can also plug in actual Genesis controllers, and then you can put a cartridge in the top, and it'll load the ROM into its memory, and you can play it then. But it doesn't save it; like you have to have the cartridge.
So the Retron does that same thing.
I'm looking at it. I'm borderline angry just because. Because it goes like 90% of the way toward recreating what the Genesis looked like, but
you should feel the weight of it.
It doesn't go. Oh my goodness! Yeah.
There's nothing in there.
Yeah,
it's
just empty plastic. Yeah.
Just hurl
to
it
the listeners. Into the sun. It feels like a box of macaroni and cheese.
But it's a little bit hard to communicate. But it's so light that it's clearly just like a USB stick, like a little tiny thing, not literally a USB stick, but there's very tiny something in there. Like, so why not make it 1/4 that size?
Yeah.
Like, why even make it that big?
Or a keychain?
A keychain. I was just gonna say,
it'd be so cute.
Genesis keychain.
Yeah.
It could just be the circle.
Anyway, it's called the Sega Genesis Flashback Console. You can look for my review on that coming
up. Does it have Flashback on it?
Ironically, no. It does
not. Come on!
Yeah. The Sega games are only games that Sega developed or published on there. So,
but there's also Mortal Kombat.
Oh, yeah, that's the one exception. Mortal Kombat's 1 through 3 are on it.
Blood version.
Yeah.
Not like that sweat Super NES trash.
Yeah. Including, I played a lot.
I can't even picture 3 on the Genesis.
I played a lot of 3 on the Genesis. That was my jam.
That's a crazy late game to be on the Genesis.
Wait, are there any EA sports games on there?
There are no sports games.
I mean, I'm sure the licensing on that is what kills that. But Genesis was the place for the sports games.
In the
NHL.
The 16-bit.
What was the talking one?
Joe Montana Sports Talk Football.
Yeah. Can you name any lines from that one?
He goes back to pass.
I did play the heck
of the first.
times.
And finally, I've also been playing this game, Darius Burst Chronicle Saviors, for PS4. And this actually came about because the physical version is manufactured by Limited Run Games. And I was talking about this.
Incredible.
Recently on the show, because we were talking about Limited Run Games, because they're doing Night Trap. They're doing the new physical version.
Oh, wow.
That box Night is Trap. So big.
Wait, those,
I know.
Those orders still haven't happened, though.
Those haven't gone live yet.
That's EB Games.
I'm so stressed.
That's like a Babbage's-sized promo box circa 1995.
Well, it includes a soundtrack and then the little figurines of the spaceship and other goodies.
It's bigger than like the PC old-school PC cardboard box.
Oh, quite a bit.
Yeah, by like 2 times, probably. But when we were talking about Limited Run Games, I was saying, man, I wanted to get this game. But when I went to the site, pre-orders had already gone live and it already sold out. But David from Limited Run Games listens to this show. And so he sent this to me. He was very kind.
So nice.
He said, I've been listening to GameScoop since around 2006. I always smile when you guys mention Limited Run. I heard a few weeks back that you missed out on this game. Glad I can show my appreciation for 11 years of entertainment. Scoop. So.
Don't tell Damon that some kid had his pre-order canceled so you could get that.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, this game is super cool. It's a side-scrolling shoot 'em up with a
shmup.
Yeah, shmup, in the vein of Gradius.
Yeah, life. Darius was a series that was even on the Super Nintendo.
I played G Darius on the original PlayStation, and my jam.
Can we get a TurboGrafx classic now?
Yeah, exactly. Where
literally, who owns the rights?
So Hudson was bought
by Hudson.
No, but TTI came to own it.
Or
that's a good question.
NEC? Maybe it was NEC.
But NEC, NEC, TTI, I think.
Now you have me wondering.
Who are those companies? I've never even heard of those. I know NEC.
Well, NEC was, electronics manufacturer.
Who's TTI?
Turbo Technologies.
Wow.
I'm sure Hudson retained.
And then Konami owns Hudson, right?
Do they?
Konami owns
Hudson.
Well, Konami, that's bad news.
But that's software. That like, who owns the actual, hardware?
Those expire.
But
remember, that's why they can re-release NESs and these that can just.
Those are unlicensed?
Release it unlicensed.
You said when you said
shmups. Yeah, but I think Sega licensed it to
I
don't know how any
the technology to read an NES cartridge that expired.
Okay.
You can make one.
Okay, but it just couldn't be branded NES. That's what AtGames had to pay for was to actually call it the Sega Genesis something.
It says funny things on the back.
Yeah, it really does say funny things.
It says
we're looking at the Darius.
A new boss battleship 2? Question mark, exclamation point.
Yes. Spoilers. All right, let's check in with the listeners.
Hey, listeners.
Listeners, remember you can always reach us at the email address, gamescoop@IGN.com, just like Chris from Saskatoon did. And I think that's Canada.
Probably. Oh, yeah.
I think Chris has written in before.
He probably has. He says, my retired father-in-law just finished watching Netflix.
I love that. Well, congratulations. That's a lot of content. Unlocked.
Wait a second. I know we got to get through the question here. What does that mean?
I have no idea.
Don't show him the new Netflix article we published yesterday.
He says he just finished watching Netflix.
He can't wait for the next season of Netflix.
Yes. And he says, rather than babysit the grandkids for once, he told me he might figure out what the appeal of gaming is all about.
Is he gonna? Yeah, I finished Netflix, guys. I'm going to move
now
on to
I'm
going to
play the video game.
For science.
He says, the old goat is looking to me for recommendations that take advantage of his new home theater, a home theater which someone's inheritance paid for. There's lots of, a lot bubbling under the surface here. There's a lot to unpack here.
A lot of Saskatoon in there.
Yeah. He says, I'm pretty sure he has never touched a controller before.
Wow.
Where would you start a geezer like that? So, what we know, there's a retired father-in-law who's finished with Netflix. He says he might want to figure out what the appeal of gaming is all about. He wants it to take advantage of his new home theater, but he's never held a controller before.
He could get that Mega Man helmet with the NES Classic and start with Super Mario Brothers.
Actually,
what a trippy question. Like, I'm kind of torn between, on the one hand, you know, you could just take him through history, get him an NES Classic or an NES and old games. Yeah. You know, that's what everyone else started on, so it should be good enough for him. But on the other hand, modern games are so much better about sort of pulling people in and being friendly.
Are they, though?
Well, I mean, easy modes and tutorials and all that stuff, you know, for someone that might help ease you into the gameplay experience. So
Two thumbsticks is weird, is a foreign, weird concept if you've never played a video game
took
before.
My wife a that's long true.
I agree with Ryan. Wii Sports.
It
worked for everybody else's grandparents.
That's true.
It's not really going to take full advantage of his home theater system.
All right. I got it.
But he won't know. He has no context.
Yeah, I mean, that's true.
He can watch Netflix and play Brain Age on a DS.
Telltale might be all right.
Ugh. Yeah, that is a good idea. It's very similar to Netflix.
Actually, yeah, that's actually a really good suggestion. So you could get a console, PS4, Xbox One, and play some...
Which Netflix, or which Telltale?
Well, if you watched all of Netflix, let's see.
Walking Dead.
Yeah.
Season one.
Probably Walking Dead or Batman. What's so funny?
I like how you prefaced it with, if you watched all of Netflix, then...
Yeah, I didn't know if like a racing game would be good, like a Forza. If that's a good place to start.
Forza Horizon 3.
I mean, because they're beautiful and all you know, you press a button.
The premise is easy to absorb. Yeah. You know, and that game in particular has a very friendly sort of rewind function.
It's like learning how to drive again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But really hard.
Sorry, Grandpa, you can't drive anymore. But
or sports games. Sports games. I would say sports games because they tend to be casual, FIFA, Madden. But the controls could also be very complicated.
We just learned on Unlock this week that. Canadian Football 2017 released on Xbox One this week.
Wow.
So he's from, we got a Canadian family here.
Does EA make it?
No, it's just football? Someone else. Yeah.
Is there a CFL? That's a real thing?
Yeah.
That's a real thing? Yeah. I don't know.
Maybe.
But seriously, the hockey sports games are still like the best game adaptations of sports.
Absolutely.
Game-wise for me.
Hockey makes the best video game sport.
For sure. And it goes back to like NHL, you know, so any of those.
Big Gretzky's head bleed.
So what's the most recent hockey game?
NHL 17.
17.
And 18 will be out in a month, probably, or 2 months.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe that's
what about Blades of Steel?
Ooh.
Heck yeah.
Still haven't topped that one.
Or just ice hockey?
Yeah,
just got the fat guy.
There you go. Hockey.
Skinny guy?
I mean, they're all kind of fat.
Regular guy?
You got to go either fat guy, skinny guy. You can't go regular.
You don't ever go regular guy?
Or do you set him up with like a gaming PC and do like Civilization 6? Go that route.
That's deep right there.
Well, yeah. But I mean, there's a lot of people. Like, I have a sister-in-law that is not a gamer, but you know, let's play 1,000 hours of Civ. That's just her jam. I don't think that's that uncommon. Like, that in The Sims, like...
Yeah.
There's some good pranks to be had here. Like, if you just go full Oculus, which I think
is
great.
Just throw them.
Just do that. And just make it seem like it's plugged into your phone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Set the phone there with the wire going out.
The Gear
put this
VR.
On your head.
You actually could do... I mean, VR is not a terrible...
Yeah.
Choice. Just to show someone how different. Like, if you want to contrast, like, you know.
We are forgetting, though. Totally. This, what's our.
Chris.
His name, Chris?
From Saskatoon.
His inheritance is being chewed up as we speak. So we should probably suggest, like, the cheapest. Just get, like, an Xbox 360.
Yeah.
That's like,
I mean,
you probably find one of those for $100 or less.
That's true. If you get that, then you can play Plants vs. Zombies and Peggle.
Ooh. Yeah.
And those are great games that are easy to get into. Also, what about like a Limbo? You mentioned Inside
before. How about if we're going the 360 route, play Rock Band. He has no idea how good Rock Band is.
Yeah,
You could time travel effectively back to
those are good
to 2006, 2007, 2008 when the music genre was big.
Yeah.
And enjoy that again.
I'm so flummoxed by an adult that's never touched a controller in their life. Like, it's hard to predict.
Well, it's a retired father-in-law.
Yeah, I mean, not that they exist, but just, you know, where would you even start them? You know, it's really kind of true.
I know, it's a tough question.
And you also can't, I dated a girl for a while that she wasn't a gamer, and I tried, you know, hey, play Mario Party, and she wasn't into it. This was back during that era. And, you know,
You should tell your wife that you were.
It was it was in high school, you know, and, you know, I would try different games out on her that she was never into. And the one that she ended up loving was Mortal Kombat, just because it was silly and over the top and punching and kicking. And, like, you know, I wouldn't have predicted that that was the game she'd be into. So you might just need to give your grandpa a menu of options.
Not his grandpa, father-in-law.
Excuse me. Give the father-in-law a menu of options and then he can grab what he wants.
Sounds like the father-in-law is spending the grandpa's inheritance.
Also, would it be his inheritance? Wouldn't it be if he's an in-law,
unless his wife is sore about it. I don't know. Like I said, there's
a lot to.
It's a complicated family.
We'll talk about this more after the show.
Yeah,
I don't know Canadian law.
Yeah, well, Chris from Saskatoon, do give us an update and let us know what your father-in-law ends up playing for his first gaming experience on his nice.
I thought those are pretty solid Saskatoon joke.
Yeah, it's pretty good. This next email is from another Chris. This Chris is from Queens.
Okay.
He says, as a regular listener, and after hearing what your other supporters have to say, I consider myself your number 24 biggest fan.
That's fair.
Modest.
Yeah. Says, I was lucky enough last week to pre-order an SNES Classic.
Oh, no. This email was sent in the past.
By signing up for pre-order alerts, which I received at 11:30 p.m. on Friday while out at a bar. So does that mean he didn't?
That's
he
the
got
Walmart
canceled.
One.
That's the one. I mean, that's the only one that's gone live in the U.S., right?
Yeah.
All right. So Chris from Queens, sorry.
Other territories have had pre-orders.
Yeah, I think
There was one other false alarm, did, right?
I don't know. I only know about Walmart.
Oh, boy.
So it sounds like Chris from Queens, his pre-order was probably also canceled, but I think we can still answer his question. He still plans on getting one. He says, I asked myself, which of these games should I be most excited about? My first console was the Nintendo 64, so I had limited exposure to all the games.
The answer is Super Mario World.
And alas, I turned to your expertise. Which of these games would you say is the most important to play first in regards to both its influence on the gaming community and overall best game? And yes, I agree with
Super Mario World and then Link to the Past.
And Super Metroid. Yeah. Man, I can't imagine those three games.
I mean, yeah.
Back to back to back.
I mean, I think every game on the SNES Classic is a stone cold classic, except for Star Fox 2, just because I haven't played it. But yeah, I think Super Mario World, you know, it's emblematic of the 16-bit era. It sort of gave the Super Nintendo its entire personality. It was
one of the best pack-in games ever.
Yeah,
what a perfect game. I think the thing that surprises me about Mario World is that, you know, it is a 2D platformer, you know, run, jump, bop on things' heads, but it's more puzzly than I think people expect. That game is filled with secrets, and I think half the levels have two exits. They have a secret exit for you to uncover, and it just keeps unfurling new layers of. You find secrets and more secrets, and it leads you to something crazy that I don't even want to spoil.
Where does Super Mario World fall for you guys in the mainline Mario hierarchy?
Maybe number two behind Mario 64.
That's where I'm at as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's in the 3 to 5s for me. I love it.
Yeah, I think I'm with you. It's for me.
You know, we're Mario 3 people.
Mario 3 is number one, and
64 is number two for me.
I probably actually maybe even go Galaxy.
Mm.
I love that game so much.
Gosh, I would kill for. Galaxy 1 and 2 remasters on Switch.
I think it'll happen.
Yeah, I think
I like Sunshine better than both Galaxies.
I would love
Sunshine.
How about
back
Sunshine
too?
Virtual Console on Switch?
Yeah,
no,
please.
I know.
I haven't played it since it came out.
Neither have I. Yeah.
It has some rough edges, but mainly they're controller based, so it'd be so good
those.
To bring back.
Yeah, Pro Controller. Oh, so good.
But I think a good plan is probably Super Mario World, Link to the Past, and then Super Metroid.
Yeah. Can't go wrong.
That's a great way to play them too. I think Super Mario World, you can play, anybody can play, just hop in and play.
Yep.
Link to the Past is a little bit tough to get into if you never played a Zelda game in 2D. And then Metroid is just a harder game than both those two.
But still awesome and classic. Okay, before we get into 20 questions, let's play another game.
What is this? That's not a game, that's a book.
Books can be fun too, Justin. So last week I was at Comic Book Con, and we were supposed to have The Walking Dead as guests on our show, but they
had the actual zombies.
The actual zombies, yeah. and I was going to play this game with them. I got this book, Can You Survive the Zombie Apocalypse?
Which actors was it going to be? Do you remember any of them?
It's the
most of them, yeah.
The cast and producers.
I want to be Michonne.
The show. You're not playing characters on The Walking Dead. Aww. This is a choose your own adventure book, written by Max Brollier, and it deals with the zombie apocalypse to see if you can survive. So I was going to play this with our guests, but they had to cancel on us. So now I've got this book, and then rather than let it go to waste, I thought we'd play
But I can play Michonne, who's going to be on the show playing this game.
My answer is already no, I can't. Look at me. I'm not going to last a day in the zombie apocalypse.
And this will be sort of, I mean, this book is 380 pages long. So I actually went through it a lot and summarized some things. So this will be an abridged version of the book. The setup here is that it's a Monday in July in Manhattan, and you're all collectively playing one person. You'll make these decisions together.
Okay.
A Monday in July in Manhattan, you're at a boring Monday morning meeting in your terrible office job in Manhattan. Someone comes into the room.
I can relate, am I right?
Turn on the TV, and you see there's been this outbreak at a nearby hospital. The patients have started biting the doctors, the police and fire trucks are on the scene. You can hear sirens outside your window. People are starting to get uneasy. People are evacuating your building. So your first decision is, if you think your best chance of getting out of the city is via taxi, or you want to jog the 12 blocks and two avenues to the 72nd Street subway, catch the next train to Brooklyn, or do you want to go back to your apartment ASAP?
All those are terrible options.
Taxi, subway, or back to your apartment.
I would vote apartment to gather myself and gather some gear. We got to get a backpack.
It could just be like a cold or something.
You got to get away from people. You can't be the subway's definitely out, right? Because you're underground.
Never public transportation.
The bridges to the taxi is the worst option. Mm-hmm. The bridges are going to be. I mean, look at. Have you seen The Dark Knight?
Yeah.
Guys, I think you're overreacting. It just
the
sounds
Joker
like a flu.
Closed.
It's just a flu.
It's the book is not Can You Survive the Flu?
Well, so, all we saw on TV was a bunch of people that looked sick.
They were biting the doctors, though. All right.
Maybe they
so what's the decision?
I think apartment.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're all okay with that?
Yeah,
right.
We'll just get some soup and play some video games. Don't go to work
with
you.
Wait for this whole thing to blow over.
22. Okay. Home, you think. That's the best bet. Has to be. Familiar, safe, secure. You alternate between walking and jogging through streets, quickly turning explosive. It's a miserable 30-block hike to your apartment. You get to your building a half hour later, soaked in sweat, up the 5 flights of stairs to your apartment, through the door, slam it shut, collapse against it, exhausted. You decide to head down. You need to get some supplies. So you head down to the corner bodega.
Supplies.
Maybe Peter Parker's there.
Your phone is ringing. You look at the display. You see your mom's big smiling face. Great. If you want to ignore the call and start pounding beers, or do you want to answer your mom's call?
You answer
mom's call.
Okay.
Yeah, she might have this flu.
Okay, you answer your mom's call.
That feels a little bit like a false... Like, it's one of those books where, like, the beer choice is going to end up being the good choice. But
right. It's a trap.
Against your better judgment, you answer the phone. She tells you to take the ferry to your Aunt Judy's house in Staten Island. Okay, done. You're taking the ferry.
All right.
Let's see where we're jumping ahead here. All right, you run for it. You make it a block. F. More zombies.
Yeah.
Up ahead is a large warehouse. You sprint for the gate. Open. Thank goodness. It's pitch black in there. You slap around.
Will you try talking to the zombies?
At the wall next to the
door. Maybe
they're
just going to a baseball game.
You feel around. It's a light switch. You hit it. Crap, zombies.
Yeah.
100 dead faces fill the warehouse.
What?
You let loose a blood curdling scream. Squeeze your eyes shut, prepare to die. Someone says, "Hey dude, chill. It's okay." You crack open one eye. One of the zombies is walking over to you. He says, "We're not real zombies." Huh?
What'd I tell you
guys? We were supposed to have a zombie walk today. You know, a zombie parade. We dress up like zombies. So it's a meatpacking warehouse and these guys are dressed up like zombies inside.
Wow. See? You got to talk to the zombies first.
So,
I was right this whole time.
You guys say, "Well, we have one advantage over the people outside. We look like zombies." One of the guys says, two guys look at each other. "You thinking what I'm thinking?" Then they nod. Shaun of the Dead. Remember the scene from Shaun of the Dead?
They
dress up like zombies, blend in. "But where do we go? We're safe." I was just staring at it. You say, "The Statue of Liberty." Someone says, "Wait, isn't this a meat storage warehouse?" So you get some meat, rub it on yourself. It'll hide the smell. So you look around, everyone rubbing chunks of dead cow over themselves. Christ, this is the most ridiculous plan ever. Are you really going to go through with this? Option A, hell no. Take your chances waiting for the rescue in the warehouse. Or, new and improved zombie walk it is.
So wait, where are we going as the
Statue of Liberty?
As
it's fairly nearby. You're going to try and swim there.
I think that's a good plan.
Yeah, okay.
I think the government hit a rocket ship inside the Statue of Liberty, and we could use that.
You think that? Okay.
Yeah, probably strength in numbers there with the fake zombie horde.
All right, so we're going ahead with the zombie walk.
If the zombies do intercept
you, if you stay in the middle of it, then the zombies will get full, and then you'll be fine.
All right, so slowly everyone makes their way out of the warehouse. Mm-hmm. The real zombies stumble around you. They get closer. They sniff out. They examine you. If you're too nervous, you think the jig is up and run, you can do that. Or you can keep up the act and try to make it to
You always keep up the act.
You're committed at this point.
But you can give a little chuckle at the people that run.
All right, so keeping the zombie act up best you can, you stumble right through the zombies. Cut out a lot here. Where are we going? Jumping ahead. All right, you make it up to the Statue of Liberty. You get in the water where you're greeted by... So you get in the water, you swim to the Statue of Liberty, you make it where you're greeted by soldiers.
Nice.
Yeah.
Damon, I see you actually composed some of your own zombie fiction.
So the soldiers take you inside of the Statue of Liberty all the way up to the crown 20 minutes later. That's you notice one of the soldiers' legs is soaked through with blood. Do you assume he's bitten, he's going to turn, you try to kill him first, or do you take his word that
he
it's
might
just,
have that leg flu?
Do you take its word that it's just a scratch?
Those are both terrible options.
Can we not report him to someone else?
Those are your two options. You have to believe him that it's just a scratch, or you try to kill him first.
Well, you can't...
We've skipped over some things.
Yeah, you can't try and just kill him without really good probable cause.
Due process?
Yeah, you're going to get killed if you try to kill him first.
What if he's just a really good cosplayer?
Okay, so we're going to take his word. It's just a scratch.
This isn't
hope for the best.
I'm not pleased with
the jumping back to page 74. All right, you put it out of your mind. There's nothing you can do about it anyway. You couldn't take this guy down even if you had 10 guys helping you.
Well, that would have been good to know before we made a decision.
Yeah, that's true.
Previous decision only was a futile choice between death and death.
Finally, you reach the torch of the Statue of Liberty. The zombies try to follow you unsuccessfully. They tumble over the side of the little opening. They fall, they free fall down to the ground. You're climbing out to the torch. Wind is howling, threatening to blow you off. And you wait. You wait for the helicopter that maybe just might be coming someday. The end.
That sucks.
That's just like the end of the first X-Men movie.
Yeah. So it ended with you just safe for the moment out on the Statue of Liberty's torch.
That's so inconclusive.
It's an end.
By book two.
In the book, Can You Survive the Zombie Apocalypse? At least you didn't die. There's lots of ways to die.
What happens if you kill the soldier?
If you try to kill him, he actually stops you and like blows your head off.
So. Maybe a better end than being marooned in the torch.
Yeah.
I'll take it. I'm pretty pleased with that.
Yeah. Just wait it out.
Maybe. Lady Liberty.
Yep.
Also, they don't allow people up in the torch anymore, right?
That's true.
The zombie thing?
Yeah.
They would have had to open
zombie
it up.
Apocalypse. All right, our 20 questions suggestion this week comes from Ryan Lengel in West Des Moines, Iowa.
I was just there.
You know him?
No.
Okay. Before we get to the suggestion, he has an email here. He says, I'm 40 years old. I spent most of the mid to late 80s, 90s, and early 2000s gaming. However, from about 2006 to 2015, I more or less didn't play video games. If a Star Wars, Lord of the Rings, or Call of the Duty game came out, I would grab it, play for a week or two, and then not game until another came out. Needless to say, I missed out on many great games.
The whole 360 PS3 generation.
2015, I got back into gaming, researched the best games that I missed, and have been playing through a phenomenal back catalog. My question for you is, when you look back at your time as a gamer, can you identify examples of personal gaming evolution? For example, when I got back into gaming 2 years ago, I mainly wanted to play games that were fast-paced with lots of action. The idea of performing recon on an area in a game and performing stealth maneuvers and kills would have bored me to tears. Now, after playing games such as Metal Gear Solid, Snake Eater, and Peace Walker, and Far Cry 3, I relish the chance to perform CQC or take over a camp without sounding an alarm or being seen.
Close quarters combat.
Got it. I haven't moved on from fast action games, still enjoy playing them, but I now enjoy games that require patience and a different set of skills, which I never thought would happen. Do you have any examples of your own? When I was thinking about this, I think I might be the exact opposite.
I
don't think I've changed at all. I think the games that I like today are exactly the same, you know, open world adventure games, puzzle games, card games, turn-based strategy games.
I stopped liking competitive games.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that I ever really did.
Well, I used to play Perfect Dark a lot.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's true.
And GoldenEye and Mario Kart. And I had friend groups that I played those in. And then one online game starting, I did that. I did that for a while, and I just don't like it anymore.
Yeah. It's Do not you not like it anymore, or is it just changed? The situation's changed? Because for me, it was like being in college, and everyone would just come over, and we play Perfect Dark and GoldenEye and changed. Rival Schools. And but like now, we're all my friends and I are all spread out and like married and.
Yeah, it's hard to say. I still play games with a lot of people, but not online video game shooters.
Yeah. Ryan, you thinking the same way? Where
I'm
you're,
the same as you. Yeah, it's like I played some strategy games back in the day and really long role-playing games. And now I just, with a full-time job and family, like I don't have as much time for super long games. And I used to, in the Street Fighter II Mortal Kombat heyday in the early 90s, all in on that.
Yeah,
just
once again.
All in. And now I just don't play fighting games. They don't interest me
Same.
Anymore.
That's another really good example. Of course, we all played Mortal Kombat and Street Fighter 2. Yeah. Like crazy.
I had all the moves memorized, the whole thing. I mean, it's just like now,
it's crazy. Not my thing. That was like everyone, like when Street Fighter 2 came out, everyone who played games played that game, and it was like the game of the year. Yep. It was the game of the moment that everyone was playing. Now, it's virtually impossible for me to imagine a scenario where a Street Fighter game or any fighting game is like the game of the year that everyone's playing. Because it's just fighting games have become kind of more of a niche thing. Very, still very, very popular.
Much. Yeah, and they're fantastic.
Sure.
They're special.
It's not
they're
like the these, thing that everyone's
playing.
Yeah,
they're playing. Like these razor-sharp, specialized precision tools that are really good at the one thing they do, which is one-on-one fighting.
Yeah. Justin, how have you evolved as a gamer or not evolved?
Well, so there's definitely games that in my head I'm like, I'm going to be really into that. But then the reality doesn't match up. Like in my head, I still really like strategy RPGs like Disgaea and Final Fantasy Tactics. But every time I try to pick one up, I play it for a couple hours and then end up getting a little bored. Like it's a little bit too slow for me now. Or, you know, strategy games, tactic games. Every once in a while, like I did play like 50 hours of Factorio or something, so I can get really, really into one. But it's very, very uncommon. Like a game like Pillars of Eternity, I'll read about it obsessively, be really excited about it, really want to be into it. But the reality of sitting down to play, like Ryan said, it's a harder fit for my lifestyle right now. The only thing that's really stuck are card games, like you said. They've been a pretty constant since I found Magic the Gathering back in the 90s.
Yeah.
And now, you know, transitioned into digital card games.
Yeah, me too.
But otherwise, I mean, I need a little bit more instant gratification. I keep getting fooled by them. I keep buying RPGs and buying strategy games and buying these slower paced games. And I think they're still what I'm into. But then the reality is I don't end up spending as much time with them as I want.
Yeah. I can even think of a lot of examples where I've been kind of resistant to get on board with new gaming trends and new gameplay styles. Like sandbox games like Minecraft doesn't work for me. Multiplayer only games, games as service. Like
I think I would have liked Destiny. Dark Souls when I was a kid, but I don't like it now.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. That's another thing.
Like, it seems like a really cool, difficult Castlevania game, but for me now, it's just not that fun.
Yeah, I'm just stuck in my ways.
Curmudgeon. Yeah, so both.
Hopefully, we never run out of open world adventure games.
But conversely, like I just played my first 3D Final Fantasy in my life. I just loved my first Metal Gear. I've never played any of them. Like I like Final Fantasy 15. I like Metal Gear Solid 5. Like I've totally experimented in games that I never played before.
Yeah,
it's just you know sometimes they work, sometimes they don't.
Jamin's still playing Disgaea and listening to Weezer.
What's wrong with Weezer?
Nothing. I'm just saying, like, setting your. Like, it's just. It's still.
Weezer's a little. I do like Weezer. I not in my, like, top 20.
I don't know why I pulled him out of a hat. Just because I'm trying to pick something that's a
still
little.
Still listening to the Beastie Boys.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
All right. And Ryan.
You know that the Beastie Boys save humanity? I just finally saw Star Trek Beyond on Amazon Prime.
Right. And they play
Beastie
that,
Boys
play
are the savior of humanity.
Yeah. Wow, good. That's interesting. I did not see Star Trek
plot
Beyond.
That is the plot of Star Trek Beyond.
Yeah, they use like not an a great audio film. File,
all right,
ancient classical music file.
I haven't seen that movie yet.
That's a callback to the first Star Trek remake, the J.J. Abrams one.
Yeah.
Because Captain, what's his name, listens to the Beastie Boys in his car when he like steals a car.
Good old Captain Woodson. Captain Kirk.
That's right.
What's his name?
And now, guess which one I like more, Star Trek or Star Wars? Ryan Langle from West Des Moines, Iowa, also gives us our 20 questions suggestion. This week, let the questioning begin.
Do you pilot some kind of vehicle or mechanical anything in this game?
No.
But he just told us this entire era of games that he doesn't play.
Okay, that's true. That's true.
Which is good, but I mean, I just might be a clue here. Is this a game from before the year 2000?
Yes.
Cool.
All right. Is this a console game?
What do you mean? Are you asking if this game appeared on a console?
Or is it a console?
All right. Was it first release on a PC?
No.
Okay. So that's.
All right. Did it come out before 1990?
Yes.
All right.
Did it come out before 1985?
No.
Sorry, I was far from the mic for that.
Okay.
Not before 1985.
That's really interesting. So we're probably looking at NES.
Yes.
Or possibly arcade, but
Master System.
Yeah, unlikely.
TurboGrafx.
Unlikely.
And it's not PC. That's good. Good to know.
Yeah.
Was this an arcade game too?
Yes.
Ooh, that's good.
So that rules out a lot.
It does. That's a really great
thin era of
arcade. We could be looking at TMNT arcade game.
Be looking 90, at that was now. 90.
No, it was 89.
89. We need to establish whether these things came out on the NES too. Because if it came out on the NES, that wasn't out by then. Anyway, yeah. Was this on the NES?
Yes.
Double Dragon, possibly. Was this game developed in Japan?
Yes.
Double Dragon's looking good.
There's a lot of games looking good. Was this a beat-em-up?
No.
Let's go. All right.
No, it is not a beat-em-up.
It rules out Double Dragon.
Well, so it could be a fighting game. Could be Trippin' Damon Up.
Well, there's no real fighting games from before.
Street Fighter 2.
Yeah, but it wasn't on the NES.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, Street Fighter 2049 was on the NES.
The Karate Cry Champ.
I think Street Fighter 1 was on TurboGrafx.
Yeah. Karate Champ. I think it was from an earlier arcade incarnation.
Yeah, you might be right.
But there's seriously a million games. We got to get a genre.
This
down
could be Ninja Gaiden, too. OG Ninja Gaiden.
Yeah, would we call that an arcade?
Is that an arcade game?
Arcade and NES.
Bionic Commando and Ninja Gaiden were both in the arcades, too.
I only ever think about them as
NES.
Was
this a Capcom
games.
Game?
Nope. That is 10.
So
wait, what did you just say?
I just asked if it was a Capcom game.
Oh, okay.
It would eliminate tons of. It was a similar line of questioning last week. So Konami, Tecmo would be good ones to ask about. But we could also ask if it has sequels. There's a lot of things we could
do. Was this a licensed game?
No.
Does it have sequels?
No.
Hmm. All right.
Karate Champ.
I had Karate Champ on before.
Is that true?
Mm hmm.
So it's probably not.
Or maybe we had a different karate game. But yeah, it could be that.
Well, now I'm tripped up.
Because it's not quite a brawler, right? Because we also have like Rygar and Karnov. Those are really good
options. We've had Karnov before.
We've had Karnov before? Yeah. We have Kid Nicky and there's a bunch. Amagon. There's a bunch of brawlers.
I've never even heard of some of those. What is Amagon?
I think it's a game where you're really small and then you get a power up and you turn giant.
All right.
And you just beat stuff up.
Yeah.
Thinking like, in the Kid Icarus vein, but based on his answer to the beat 'em up thing. Yeah.
Rampage?
Or Rygar, I was thinking.
Rampage had got
it. It was
bunch
never
of sequels.
Official Rampage? I mean,
they made at least Rampage 64. Yeah. I assume there are others.
Yeah, that's a really good one. Does this have multiplayer?
Good question.
Yes.
Okay, it's sounding more and more like Rampage. Who made Rampage? Midway?
No, but he said there were no sequels.
You're correct.
Well, Midway published. Oh, that's true. That's a problem. Yeah. Darn it. And it's American, I think, now that I think about it.
So yeah, that's right.
But it's got multiplayer, so it can't be Rygar.
Japanese developed, no sequels.
Arcade and NES game from the late 80s.
It's not a brawler, so it can't be like, that throws me off a little bit because I would immediately go to Contra. And
no licenses, like no sequels, no Capcom. Mm-hmm. So like you got to think like a Konami or like Tecmo game that didn't get sequels. You keep having like Sunset.
What'd you play with friends?
Writers and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I remember.
Like, is there like a TMNT?
Jackal, Legendary Wings, mm-hmm. that
those
kind
all,
of stuff.
Those are good options.
No sequels to either of those.
You shoot guns in both of those, right?
Yeah. And guns from your Jeep and Jackal and your.
And what was one
like
you
an angel guy with wings. And,
I mean, I'm not on the right track.
Do you shoot a gun in this game?
Yes.
I was thinking about, is it useful to know if it's like competitive or cooperative?
Everything was cooperative back then. There really wasn't, that was sort of, two-player co-op was the predominant
Yeah.
Can't be Bubble Bobble.
Although, I guess...
I mean, as long as we've gotten away from, like, fighting games, there was probably not much competitive back then. It's too early to be a fighting game, most likely.
Did we ask if it was a Konami game?
No.
Is it a Konami game?
Yes.
Dun, 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 dun.
He's right. Done it.
Jackal's still in play.
This. Five questions left.
I think it's Jackal.
I love that game.
But he got tripped up by the brawler thing. So, if it's not that, it would have to be...
Contra's out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all the like, Konami licensed
stuff. The Ninja
stuff
Turtle,
is out,
yeah.
And all the Gradius series is out too, because those have sequels.
And you're in a ship. Are you in a ship in Jackal?
No.
You get in a vehicle
maybe,
of any
I don't
kind?
Yeah, you're only in the Jeep. Jackal's a really cool one. I hope it's that.
Yeah. Or that game.
There's also, Konami has Castlevania, and it has, just think of all the silver boxes. It has Bayou Billy, which
sequels.
We've had before.
Yeah.
Which would apply to all of these too.
It's probably Jackal.
Are you in a Jeep?
I already said you don't get into any sort of vehicle.
Oh, you did?
Do you really want to use that question?
No, we do not.
Oh, so it's
but what if you are
Jackal.
A vehicle? No, you're just in it.
And Bayou Billy wasn't two player, I don't think. We already had that
one. We really should have this already, given that how far we've narrowed it.
Konami game.
I'm struggling to remember
Konami game.
My Konami games now from that era that weren't Ninja Turtles.
Goemon.
There's also the 1942 series. But that
definitely
doesn't work.
Wasn't there a sequel? Wasn't there a 1943?
Yeah, there were a bunch of sequels.
Yeah.
Capcom.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sorry. Yeah, that's a good point.
Konami game.
All right. Five questions left.
Think of those silver boxes.
I know. That's what I'm trying to picture.
I didn't have any
questions.
Exposure to arcades back then.
Well, just so many things reported to the arcade. And you said you did shoot a gun?
Mm-hmm.
Did Konami make like Operation Wolf for any of those like gun games? Like,
yeah, potentially. I don't know what was ported to the NES from.
Yeah,
Operation
I'm sure the
Wolf
ports would
was.
Be bad. Whatever was.
What are the other top down games like Commando and
Ooh.
Ikari Warriors type games?
Yeah, yeah,
Smoke?
Yeah.
That's Capcom.
That was Nintendo first party.
We had Commando on before. That was also Capcom. Jeez. Mm-hmm. I don't know what to do.
Yeah,
that's five questions.
I'm at a dead end here.
Yeah, me too.
You said it wasn't licensed, right?
Is this a
not licensed.
Like a military themed game?
Yes.
It doesn't have sequels and it's from Konami.
It's not Goemon, guys.
It's two player.
It's at least two player.
It could still be Jackal, except for the vehicle part.
Yeah.
So that rules that out.
A lot of 80s arcade games just had players alternating turns for its multiplayer.
Yeah. Yeah, I know what you mean.
Big hint. Damon's trying to drag us across the finish line here.
It's a little too much dead air.
Yeah.
We got to ask her four questions.
What are the army-like games? So you have Commando, Ikari Warriors, like Rambo, Contra. Yeah. What are the Contra knockoffs? You know, like the other type of Contra games.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't.
Okay, I was going to say Super C, which like
yeah.
technically never mind, because that's out of the era anyway.
I don't know what else to ask. Is this game highly regarded?
It's a subjective question.
Yeah. Or like,
be a little more specific.
All right.
Are you giving up? You got four questions left. We got to either ask them or we got to wrap it up.
I know. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do.
Yeah, I'm out.
I just don't even have a guess at this point because
everyone will know this game.
Yeah.
This you play in a jungle. You in a jungle in this game? Spend a lot of time in a jungle.
I can't answer that. I don't know.
You can't answer that?
I don't know if you ever go to the jungle in this game.
What about like Twin Cobra or what's the boat game?
There's Spy Hunter.
Cobra Triangle,
sequels,
is that what
I
it's
think.
Called?
Yeah, and also it had a movie.
is this, do we ask if it was a side scroller?
No.
Is it a side scroller?
Yes.
I don't know what to do.
Three questions left.
Obvious. Just running, jumping.
A Konami game, a Konami military side scroller that came to arcades and the NES that didn't get sequels. It's not a brawler.
And it uses you shoot guns.
And we all know it.
Yes.
And we all know it.
That just rubs it in even worse.
That's what you said about Blackthorn. I would have never got Blackthorn in a million years.
This one is better known than Blackthorn.
Okay. What about like Russian Attack? Is that a Konami game?
I don't know.
Well, that's a
Bump and Jump.
Wasn't Russian Attack in with the NES Classic? So was, no. I feel like I've encountered that game recently. Maybe not. Oh no, Russian Attack was like remade for as an Xbox Live arcade game.
Oh,
that's
was?
What it was.
Jeez.
And you know what? It might be like Russian Attack. You might actually have stumbled on it because I'm almost sure that's a Konami game. But I don't remember if it was side.
They have like a Bionic Commando knockoff.
Probably is. Should we just go with Russian Attack and then just take the L if we need to?
Yeah, there's also like.
But he says it's super well known. I don't know if Russian Attack would quite fall into that category.
And then there's like Narc, that era of game.
Oh, was that? Hold on.
And then what's the other drug?
No, and that was an arcade game.
I was trying to think of that drug. The drug.
Narc
the
might
drug
be
game.
It, actually. Narc. Because it's guns, it's side-scrolling, it's two-player.
I don't know if it's Konami.
It's arcade.
I think it's Midway.
I don't know. The home version might have put...
Does it have drugs in it?
No.
Doberman's trying to hunt you down.
But something
that.
Like
was a
that.
Good guess, though. That was a good thought process.
What about Russian Attack and games like that?
Got nothing left.
Yeah.
And there's Mighty Final Fight. That would be a good... No, that's not Konami either. Trying to dig deep in my Konami stuff. I don't know.
It's worst radio ever for those of you.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
There's nobody listening. It's fine.
It's been tough.
They're all gone.
Last
person shut the door on the way out.
I guess we'll just ask, is it Russian Attack?
Yes.
Oh! I would not have expected that to be considered as more well-known
than Blackthorn?
Yeah.
Well, these guys didn't know Blackthorn, but these guys actually knew Russian Attack.
Oh.
I'm extremely happy right now.
Released in 1985 in arcades.
Pulling that one out of the hat.
Really?
Ported
really
to the NES in 1987. And what tripped me up about the brawler is that your primary method of attack is knife. It's a knife game.
And you never played Russian Attack.
And
I didn't know it was Konami that made it.
It's a Konami game, yes.
For those of you at home, it's not R-U-S-S-I-A-N.
It's
R-U-S-H apostrophe N. Rush like, and attack.
Really, the double, the entendre there never struck me until right now.
Cool.
Really?
When you say it out loud.
Yeah.
Yeah, Russian attack.
But it's like an early, I guess it wasn't really an early NES game, but
By the way,
I'm sorry for the dead air.
Hats off to Damon for the poker face on that one.
Trying,
that's impressive.
Yeah. Trying,
I know, that killed me.
I would not have picked that as an 85. Like, that's early.
In the arcades, yeah.
Wow.
It came to the NES in 87. Mm. And has a great soundtrack. Really good soundtrack.
Ryan Langle.
Ryan Langle, who suggested it, says, I had this game as a kid and loved it, even though I realized it's an average game. It went along with my interest in Cold War era things like playing War in the Woods and the movie Red Dawn.
Yeah. Remember the NES game Hunt for Red October?
Well, yeah.
I have them in my sights.
Based on the film, yeah.
Russian Attack, it does have the silver Konami cover, right?
Yeah.
And it's just like Russian Attack on it, so yeah.
Yeah.
We're on the right trail.
Two players alternating. That's why I feel like the multiplayer question is difficult for those older games.
Yeah, I would have never.
Because you imagine two players playing at the same time.
Sound like Super Mario Brothers being a multiplayer game.
Yeah.
Like, well, not really.
Yeah, so.
I can't believe we got to like, what was it? You asked a really funny one. Basically Rambo-like shooters.
Yeah.
And you just try to go through them. And then in my head, I just see all the NES box art.
If it was in the jungle.
See all the guys with their headbands and their shirts off.
Yeah.
Yeah. This guy's wearing like a beret on the cover, I think. He's like coming through the box. With this
I have to look it up after this for sure. Wow.
It's a cool game. Lots of dogs. You knife a lot of dogs in that game.
Really?
Yeah.
That was a two NES clenchers in the last week.
Yeah, last week's was Ikari Warriors. They got on the 20th question.
I think it would have been cool if this week it was Ikari Warriors 2, and then next week it was Ikari Warriors 3.
Surely he wouldn't do it to us a third time.
There's no way. Yeah, it's pretty good. Thank you for the suggestion there, Ryan. And that brings us to all the scoops that we have for you this week. Remember, you can always reach us at the email address, gamescoop@IGN.com. Thank you, Justin. Thank you, Sam. Thank you, Ryan. My name is Damon. This is IGN Gamescoop, and we're out.
Have you ever watched a futuristic sci-fi movie and wondered, but wait, could any of this really happen? And will I live long enough to see it? That's what our show Hypothetical is about. I'm Carrie Bechet, and on this podcast, we ask what-if questions about the future. Like, what if we could read minds? What if the world's digital data was erased all at once? What would happen if the Yellowstone supervolcano erupted? Then we explore that question two ways, through speculative science fiction and through dialogue with brilliant scientists. The result is a genre-bending narrative that's interwoven with real facts provided by literal geniuses. And, spoiler alert, a lot of the science fiction out there, it's not nearly as far-fetched as you might think. Come time travel with me into the future on Hypothetical. New episodes on Tuesdays, available on all your favorite podcast apps. Just search Hypothetical. That's H-Y-P-E-R-T-H-E-T-I-C-A-L.